playing versus, in my opinion, the MVP of our league this year, and Steph.
Two former MVPs going head-to-head in the play-in. We will preview the matchup today on The Jump. And Chris Webber, Chris Bosch, Paul Pierce, all getting the call to the Hall. We will give them their flowers shortly. About time, C-Web. And Kyrie went 50-40-90 on the season. Is this the best Kyrie Irving we've ever seen? So kick back, relax, grab a smoothie, do like James does. Enjoy The Jump. We're about to start now.
That's a big smoothie thing.
He's a tall guy.
Welcome to The Jump, presented by Dell.
Uriel out of like a...
Dude, I'm enjoying the music.
Yes.
It's got a very Disney park
theme-esque. I just want to get this out of the way. The fact that you text me and Matt to wear hoodies and then you don't wear a hoodie. Like, I thought you were going to do a WNBA hoodie and we were all doing this thing.
Don't try to draw me into your twinsies thing going on here. Hey. Just because you showed up in what Matt wears all the time.
Yeah, oh, this is stolen swag, 100%.
Right? I was like, don't try to get me involved. I have nothing to do with this.
That looks really, really comfortable, Matthew.
I know, but you do want to share with the people that Matt is fully dressed from shoulders to shoes and you
We'll do it later
hand.
In a segment. I'll go in front of the board.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying you're going to have to see what else Richard is wearing now. That's a tease. Welcome to The Jump. I'm joined by NBA champions. I've got the co-host of All the Smoke podcast on that side,
yes,
Matt Barnes, our 2016 champ who made four NBA finals appearances, Richard Jefferson. We will get into a game of Can I Have a Word in just a moment. But first, all right, it's official. One of the most unusual regular seasons in the NBA's 75-year history is in the books, with the play-in game set to start tomorrow and the rest of the bracket in action starting this weekend. It's funny, there isn't really a nickname for the NBA playoffs the way there is with March Madness. No one calls what's about to happen the big dance. And yet, in this season's finishing kick, we still saw several teams trying to pick their partners.
That's true.
Hey, you're serious, right?
In the East, the Bucks could have intentionally lost their recent regular season game versus Miami. That would have let them avoid a first-round playoff matchup with Jimmy Butler and the Heat, the team that, of course, upset them in the bubble last year. But instead, Giannis and company leaned into that smoke.
Ooh.
And now we'll indeed face the Heat in the first round. Just meanwhile,
like
in the West, a bit more complicated. For the first time in franchise history, the Jazz clinched the best overall record in the NBA, which in turn locked the Suns into the second seed. As for the three spot, well, just a few days ago, the Clippers appeared relatively set for that, which likely would have put them on either a first or second round collision course with the Lakers, and just in the generally tougher side of the West bracket. So what did the Clippers do? Well, friends, they spent this weekend losing to the Rockets and the Thunder, two teams that themselves have been tanking so hard that in order to pull this off, the Clippers last night had to sit Kawhi and Paul George and Marcus Morris and Rajon Rondo, and DeMarcus Cousins, and Nick Batum. Starting center Ivica Zubac wanted to keep his consecutive game streak alive, so Ty Lue let him for 6 seconds. He then sat the rest of the game. And hey, it worked. The Clippers are now officially the 4 seed. Although, as I said on the show a couple times last week, if I'm the Clippers, I would have wanted to play the Lakers in the first round when the crowds at Staples Center are still pretty limited. LeBron's still working his way back from that ankle injury. Sure enough, actually, we saw LeBron's ankle flare again last night. Watch this twist here in the fourth quarter against the Pels. LeBron did not return to the game after this, but afterward he said he will feel fine enough to play on Wednesday. He's going to be in that game when the Lakers will face, yep, Steph Curry and the Warriors in that West play-in game. And speaking of, Steph just ridiculous again. Last night, he wrapped up his second career league scoring title with a 46-point performance in which he outscored the entire rest of the Warriors starting lineup altogether. Really, Steph is so hot right now that Wednesday night's game should be an absolute dogfight, with the winner slotting into the 7th seed and the loser getting another game to fight for 8th, which has some irony, because if it's the Lakers who end up sliding to 8, guess where they'd end up? Yep. On the Clippers side of the bracket. Turns out this pick your partner stuff can be dicey. No wonder we don't use the big dance nickname for the NBA. Instead, maybe we just refer to these next few months as survival of the fittest, because it's gonna be a rumble, and I can't wait. And with all that, gentlemen, all of the machinations, can I I have a word. This is our game where we give you topics. You describe them in one word. So I want to start with the play-in tournament in general. Remember, it was criticized by LeBron, Luka, Mark Cuban.
I don't remember which one was first.
Others this season. I'm telling you, based on events just described from this weekend, the play-in delivered some great late-season drama. We've seen less resting late this season. Teams fighting to stay out of that 7-10 range in each conference. So, Richard, can I have a word for the idea of the play-in tournament?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I got... Dang. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know. Using a pen is complicated.
What? Oh. There. Outstanding-ish. Outstanding-ish. That's why.
I don't know if that's a word.
It's not a word, but that's what makes it so much fun. It's outstanding because obviously it did what it was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. It got the teams in the bottom part a little bit more focused. And then after that, Golden State Lakers, I don't know. You necessarily want those in the first couple.
Mine is from a fan's perspective, which I am now. Ooh, I'm ahead.
Am I not? Mm-hmm. Boom.
That's two words.
I mean, his two words are better than your two words.
Yeah.
At least his two words are real English.
I love it from a fan's perspective, but as a player's perspective, you heard players speak out on it. I've been a 7 or an 8 seed, and you know, you bust your tail to get to that spot and think, okay, you can relax and then focus on your series. Now you got to worry about this play-in game, and this is a dangerous situation for the Lakers, particularly because Steph Curry is playing the best basketball of his career, Draymond is on point, and the Lakers are not healthy. So we will have to see what happens. But like I said, from a fan standpoint, which I am now, I love it.
Well, I mean, look, in a way, though, it also can kind of give you a little more to play for, right? Forget that. But look, whether it's losing in the first round, which not all, most 7 and 8 seeds do, or, hey, we made it to this part of the play-in. It's kind of an accomplishment if you're fighting in that bracket to make it to 7 or 8 versus 9 or 10. And then winning on Wednesday night. I think whoever wins, it will feel like an accomplishment. It'll feel like a big deal. Now, for the Lakers and Warriors, these are guys that have seen championships. Right. I don't think they're like, oh, my God, I want a play-in game. I'm not saying that. But for teams in general, in terms of this format, I think for, say, the Wizards, who were fighting on the east side to just get in, if they can win a play-in game and get themselves...
Why did you mention the Wizards? This is the issue with this. And Matt remembers this when there were teams that were winning 50 games and not making it to the postseason, 49 games. So sometimes the 7 seed could be one of the best teams in the league. Mm-hmm. There could be a 3-game difference between 7 and 2, and it could go in a tiebreaker. So all of a sudden, the 7 seed... You were in potential of not making the postseason when you were a game and a half away from 2.
Right.
So that's where it gets a little dicey, in my opinion, because these teams and these conferences could be so loaded. So I think the 8 is where it should be, and then 7 should be safe, in my opinion.
I just think, you know, and we're talking about the Lakers. I mean, I think for the Lakers, although they don't want to be in it, I think this is going to be a possible possibly two to kind of get warmed up before you go into that first round series, because they haven't had guys together. Guys have been hurt. So we'll talk about this more later, obviously. But as a player, I understand the frustration for sure.
I get that. I do want to get your guys' take on the Clippers. They made sure their players were rested this weekend, right? I mentioned all the DMPs. I mean, come on, guys. Both games were lost, and I can't even do the rest of this intro. Look, can I have a word for the Clippers this weekend? Let's start with Matt.
Strategic.
Okay.
Which means a lot of different things. It means smart. It means rested. It means there's no excuses now. You're going to be rested. You're going to be focused on whoever you have to play. Whether people want to say they avoided the Lakers, that's, you know, who really knows. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to line up a crash course for an all-LA Western Conference finals, hopefully. I think that's what everyone wants to see. So I just think it was very strategic on their part.
See, this is my thing. If I would have known somebody else was going to write our words, then I would have picked, like, strategic. Like, I just was never going to spell that. So I picked smart. So smart.
How about strategery?
Strategery.
Strategist.
Okay, look. At the
you
end of the day,
you just made me drop my pen in my. Look at this.
Well, Richard's mad because they wrote our words early this time instead of letting us. Because he drew happy faces last time.
Look, at the end of the day, I think this is the right move. Teams have done this throughout history. Like, I was one of the rare teams that was a 7 seed that beat a 2 seed before. Mm-hmm. So I like it. Look, Lakers, Clippers would be a great matchup. To the Clippers, they're saying, like, hey, we're not running from the Lakers, but we would much rather play them later. Give yourself some more time, whether it's Serge Ibaka, Rondo, give those guys more time to get acclimated to what they're doing. And yeah, the Lakers, if they're at their best, then they're going to have to beat them or go through someone that did.
I mean, look, I don't know the exact status of Kawhi Leonard's foot. So it's possible that this was
more time.
Not so much about like, oh my God, we're so scared of the Lakers, and more about, hey, if we play the defending champions, we also want to be healthier. And that I understand. I do think, first of all, if the Lakers fall to eighth, which you guys just talked about how Steph Curry is, that could definitely happen, right? So if the Lakers fall to eighth, then they are back in the same side of the bracket, although not till the second round. I have just been saying all week, and I heard Jared Dudley say it last night in the postgame press conference, the first round is probably where the Lakers will be more vulnerable, right? The crowds here in California at Staples Center are still pretty limited. I think right now they're at 11% capacity. We expect that to change throughout the playoffs. Capacity is going to go up. And if the Lakers and Clippers play each other, I'm not making a value judgment here. I'm just telling you that every time we have seen Lakers-Clippers games, even if they're Clippers home games,
Laker game.
The stands are Lakers fans.
I played for both. So it's always going to be a Laker advantage. No matter what colors or what's covered up inside, it's going to be a Laker advantage. So completely agree.
Right. So you will have every home game of a Clippers-Lakers series, if it happens later in the playoffs, possibly feeling like a Lakers home game in a way that the first round series wouldn't. LeBron, as I mentioned, just tweaked his ankle again last night. I don't know how he's going to move
around. I'm calling it now. Lakers and Clippers won't meet.
You don't think? Ooh. So you think that, like, even
who's not going to get this, there? Who's,
yeah.
Hey, look, that's for everybody else to argue about. I'm just saying. Lakers and Clippers is not happening.
Well, that's what happened last year, right? We thought they were on this collision course, and the Clippers did not get there. We will have to see what happens this year and to see if their strategery pays off. Coming up, friends, we're going to talk a little bit about the 2021 Hall of Fame class, because that was also announced this weekend, along with the enshrinements. We will react to the newest Hall of Famers next. The Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2020 was inducted over the weekend, headlined, of course, by the posthumous induction of Kobe Bryant. His wife, Vanessa, just tremendous, speaking on his behalf. Here's a portion of her speech from Saturday. We'll be right back after this.
You did it. You're in the Hall of Fame now. You're a true champ. You're not just an MVP. You're an all-time great. I'm so proud of you. I love you forever and always. Kobe Bean Bryant.
Let's take a look at today's magic moment brought to you by Walt Disney World. The next Hall of Fame class announced over the weekend. Our guy Paul Pierce, we miss you, Paul. Chris Bosh, who will be on our show this week. Chris Webber, it's about time. Ben Wallace, it's about time, are the headliners. Here's a full look at all the inductees. Richard, when you look at the names, you played against most of them.
Including Bill Russell.
What do they all have in common to you? And Matt, I'll ask you the same.
No, I just think it's greatness. Like, I grew up in Phoenix, so seeing Cotton Fitzsimmons, you know, seeing that name, which was an iconic name when I grew up. And Tony Kukoc deserving. Oh, Rick Adelman, all the great Portland teams and what he did in Sacramento. There's just a Jay Wright, obviously. Yolanda Griffin. There's so many names on there that it's just like, everyone is deserving, and congratulations.
You've reached the pinnacle. I mean, obviously, hats off to this last 2020 class that was inducted this weekend. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, especially Paul, Chris, you know, guys we played with, Chris Bosh, and then, you know, Chris Webber kind of being a mentor and a big brother to me. Really happy, because I think he's been on the fridge for a long time when he should have already been in the Hall of Fame.
So amen. We said it on Friday's show. I like it. We were 2 days ahead of the announcement, Matt.
Yeah, we knew something.
And by the way, Big Ben, four-time Defensive Player of the Year. You got to be in the Hall of Fame.
And from an HBCU, too. Which
and when defense was important.
When it was
where it's
real.
Like, yo, yeah, it's like 90 points is what the goal was, and he's going to stop you from getting that 90. Yeah, right. So it's in Chris Bosh. Say whatever you want. This man should have been first ballot. I understand that there's
Please let's get rid of that qualifier. Say whatever you want. He should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now, it's possible that there was a decision, hey, we don't want to put him in with the Kobe, KG, Duncan class.
And that's fair.
But that's not a knock on him.
It's not a knock on him. It's a knock on.
And we don't know what they made that decision.
I'm just going to say it is a knock on the decision makers. Don't take away an accomplishment for someone to make it a better advertised class. Yeah. Because Chris Bosh belongs in that class as the Kobe Bryants, the Tim Duncans, the Kevin Garnetts. Belongs there.
But we just show Paul Pierce. I think sometimes, because obviously we miss Paul, and Paul will say some wild stuff from here and there, but I think he's one of the most underrated small forwards we've ever seen in the game. Rich and I both had to guard him for a long
time.
He was a killer big shot maker, shot taker, dog, talk trash. Paul was a killer, and I don't think he gets enough credit today for how good he was.
He called game.
He called game.
Hey. He called game.
Yeah, no. The one thing I'll say about Paul is that he was athletic, but he wasn't super athletic.
Right.
He was a shooter, but he wasn't like Ray Allen. Yeah. And he just had such a versatile game, clutch, grinded out. Just so much respect for him and what he accomplished, because he taught me a lot of lessons very early on in my career.
He was one of my favorite players to cover. He was one of my favorite players to work with. We miss him here at the Jump tremendously. And I will say about Tony Kukoc, brought in by the international committee. Mm. So I was wondering if you thought Michael and Scotty would show up to heckle. What they did during the Olympics? No.
But Tony deserved.
I think they got their point across.
Yeah, you talk about the greatest Bulls.
Tony absolutely deserves to be in there through that international committee. All right. The bad news, the regular season is over and the playoffs don't start for basically a week until this weekend. The good news, we've got play-in basketball starting tomorrow. We preview it after the break. Keep it locked.
Where are you on the play-in tournament?
I want to see these games.
There's a little randomness.
I don't see the point of that.
I love this.
Great idea.
Whoever came up dead need to be fired.
Well, what do you think about the play-in tournament?
I like the opportunity.
Nah, because they don't want to win me.
Throw it down, King! Bridges!
Oh, my God!
Let the chips fall where they may. We're ready to go.
Ooh, I'm juiced. Whoever did that promo, nice. Here's our first NBA play-in tournament games on ESPN and the app. Wednesday, 7:30 Eastern, the Grizzlies hosting the Spurs. That is the Western Conference 9-10 game. Then it's the 7-8 game. Everyone get your TVs tuned between the Warriors and the Lakers. Our coverage starts with Stephen A's pregame at SportsCenter at 7 o'clock Eastern. Welcome back to The Jump, presented by Dell. I'm Rachel Nichols, still joined by these two. After much anticipation, the play-in tournament seeds locked in, gentlemen. So let's start in the West, where the Lakers, as we've mentioned 106 times already, will face off with the Warriors, the winner securing the 7th seed in the conference. Now, the Grizzlies and Spurs, they meet in a single elimination playoff game. So whoever loses that game, you're out. And then the winner will face the loser of Lakers-Warriors for the 8th seed. So, Matt, let's start with that 9-10 game in the West. What are your expectations for Grizzlies-Spurs?
This is a new Grizzlies team, young team, new head coach to the experience versus one of the greatest coaches of all time in Popovich. So I like this young, exciting Memphis team. If this is a 7-game series, I'm going with San Antonio. Mm-hmm. But for one game, I'm going to take the youth and go with Memphis.
Oh, this is tough. This is tough. I think with Jackson back and the way they're playing, Valanciunas is playing great. Having Jackson is such an important part because he's a stretch four. He's a big. He's like athletic. He does so much. So I'm going to go with the Grizzlies in a one-game situation. Just I'm not picking against the Spurs, but in a 7-game, like you said, I think like Pop could tactically take some of
that. Okay, so this is an interesting question, though. If you decide one team has the coaching advantage, and that, by the way, is no knock, it's just saying
You're
going against Greg Popovich is possibly the greatest coach of all time, depending on what part of the country you live in. Do you think it's more of an advantage in a one lose and you're out game because the better tactical or more experienced tactical coach can give you a look you're not expecting?
No.
Or do you think it's that the adjustments in a series?
That's it. It's in-game adjustments, and that's what makes some coaches good to great, being able to in-game adjust. And I think Pop can coach himself to his team to a win with all kinds of adjustments and taking away what they're good at. But if you only got one shot at it, it's really
we've seen 60-win coaches lose jobs. We've seen coach of the years lose jobs because you got into the postseason and you didn't have the ability to make adjustments. So I think that's a 7-game situation. One game, the young horses, and we're going to go out there with nothing to lose. So, and you're playing against the Spurs, I think. Yeah, 7-game Spurs, 1-game situation, I'd go with the Grizzlies.
Okay, all right. So, Matt, what are your expectations for Lakers-Warriors?
Ooh, same situation. I think over a 7-game situation, I think LeBron and them would be too much. But the way Steph is playing right now, the fact that LeBron had a minor tweak, even though he says it's fine, they're not all the way in rhythm. This is really a coin flip to me. I mean, Steph Curry's playing the best basketball of his life right now. Draymond is right there with them as far as keeping this team going. And this team is just playing off of energy. Everyone thought Steph was going to be exposed this year, and he has no one this year, and he's come out to possibly be the MVP, led the league in scoring. So they're going against the hottest player in the world right now, and the Lakers better be ready.
Woo! So I think this. I think the only reason why I think that the Lakers win this game is because, not saying you can take away Steph, because you can't. It's been proven you can't take away Steph. But what you can do is make others beat you more than you normally would. So if the other guys step up, if Draymond steps up, you know, if you get guys like Kent Bazemore, if you get other guys that have a 15, 17-point game, then I think they win. But if you're just going to look for
Wiggins,
if you just get guys that are just like, Steph's going to score 40 and take us there, I think the Lakers, because their size and all that. But I think the Warriors win. The next game, no matter who wins,
right.
And I think the Lakers win and get the seventh spot.
What do you think about offensively in terms of, can the Lakers have enough firepower at this point right now with guys still coming back and feeling each other out to keep up with if Steph does manage to go off for another 45 or so?
Size. I think that Lakers size in a one-game situation, their interior. You got Drummond. You're starting to see the impact that he can have with Anthony Davis and LeBron James in there. And again, they do have a couple of guys that can run around. KCP, Caruso. They've got guys that can at least try and run around and chase Steph. I don't think they have many guys on their roster that can handle Anthony Davis or LeBron James. So it's like, we can't just look at Steph and say he's outstanding and not look over at Anthony Davis and LeBron. It's like, well, who do they have to try and match up with those two? And I don't really think they have anyone on their roster.
I think what RJ says is important. Can Wiggins or Oubre or someone else step up and be that second scorer that you know Clay would have been?
Yeah.
I think that's the key, because even if Steph goes off for 45 points isn't going to win the game. You're
going to
need some more firepower.
Yeah, if he outscores the starting lineup, like he did in this last game,
the rest of his starting
Golden
lineup.
State Warriors weren't winning. And that's not a knock on the Warriors or Steph, but if he outscores the starting lineup like he did, they'll lose that game.
But if they're shooting the ball like they've been shooting and playing, this is going to be – and this is, again, why, as a fan, I love the playing, because
is
this is excitement. This is just leading up to the playoffs.
You like it because you're not in it.
Exactly.
I do want to get to the East. The Celtics facing the Wizards, with the winner securing the seventh seed and a matchup with the Brooklyn Nets. Now, the Pacers and Hornets are the ones meeting in the lower single elimination game, with the winner then facing the loser again of Celtics-Wizards for the eighth seed. So, Richard, let's start with, again, the lower single elimination game. What are your expectations for Pacers-Hornets?
Look, I like the Hornets. I like the Hornets in this. They've had this positive energy about them all year. The Pacers have had some little bitty drama. They have talent. They've had injuries. They've had a ton of stuff. But this Hornets team and their energy, the way they play, and they play together. So matching up against, this is a team that's had multiple 25 assist nights. You don't know who to stop, who to key on. There's no head to the snake. And so I like them over Indiana.
I think everything that Richard spoke to speaks to who LaMelo Ball has been to this team. He's brought energy, he's brought excitement, he's brought leadership from a young kid. And keep it real, although injuries are part of the game, if he doesn't get hurt, they're not even in this playing situation. I think they're secured probably a number six at the worst playing spot. But I agree, I'm taking the young Hornets in this matchup.
No, it's a reason he's most people's rookie of the year, because
the
rookie guard doesn't. We will discuss that on the show later this week. I'm gonna give you my answer, but I'm not gonna give it today. Okay. That's also a tease. We almost never see a rookie, especially a rookie guard, make that kind of impact and just completely shift a team's fortunes. I am curious to see if the outcome of that play-in game, and that is another reason to sort of keep track of it, impacts whether the Pacers let their coach go at the end of this season. Mm-hmm. Something that Adrian Wojnarowski has been reporting on is just right there as a question. All right, Matt, let's talk Celtics-Wizards.
Oh, my Celtics.
Today, Bradley Beal said his strained left hamstring will not be 100%. He will just have to manage it in Tuesday's playing game. So knowing that, and also these teams have a little like mini rivalry. It's not Celtics-Lakers, but remember we had the guys all dressed in black for one game. They had the back and forth words of word in the playoffs. So what do you expect?
I've been a fan of the Celtics all season, thinking that they were going to turn the corner eventually with their experience and their young stars and really start climbing up the Eastern ladder. That didn't happen. I think losing Jaylen Brown is a huge part. So to me, it comes down to, I think Bradley Beal, if he can manage, which I think he will, him and Jason Tatum cancel each other out as far as, because they're two great scorers. Who's going to do on Boston side what Russell Westbrook has been doing this year, which has been terrorizing the league as far as numbers go, and he's got his team in this position. I mean, hats off to Russ, because I think they sent him there to die, and he came out better, you know, better than ever.
Frank and Russ.
Exactly. So excited for him. But to me, I think Washington pulls this out, and it's been a heck of a run for them because at the beginning of the season, we were talking about, you know, they need to trade Brad. They're wasting this time, and this team came together, did what they're supposed to do, and have made a nice run.
Now, Matt, calm down. They're still the 10th seed, so they still.
I'm just talking about playing.
Just playing. Okay, that's
all I'm talking about.
They still should trade. They should still trade. Our eighth seed. What? Yeah. It sounds like they're 10. Anyways, this is what I think. I think if Bradley Beal is healthy, without a doubt, it's the Wizards. But you don't know. And he went out and tried to play, couldn't really move. We already saw like the numbers and him possibly trying to catch Steph for like the scoring record. So if they're healthy with no Jaylen Brown, it's the Wizards. And then after that, it becomes a toss up, to tell you the truth, because you don't know who's going to step up for the Wizards. Like, who is their third guy that's going to step up in this situation? So if Bradley Beal can give you 15 points, if he can go out there and make it through a game, give you 15, 18 points, I think it's the Wizards.
I mean, I'm very interested to see what Russell Westbrook does in this game, because you guys know how I feel about him. I think that the slander on him is
ridiculous.
People just don't understand what he brings to a team if you're still criticizing him. And if you look at even his season this season, he was nursing an injury for the first chunk of the season. He had a tough time in the playoffs in the bubble because he was nursing an injury. So not understanding that and then seeing how he has impacted the team once he is healthy, and especially once they got over all their COVID issues. That whole preamble aside, I will also say sometimes he tries to do too much in playoff games. We've seen it again over and over and over again. So I'm curious to see, with Brad not being 100%, which Russell Westbrook we get. I think the fact that Scott Brooks is there as the coach, and he has managed and worked with Russ, not just in D.C., but in Oklahoma City, will have an impact on that. But we'll have to see. It's another good wrinkle.
But the bad part about the Eastern side, it doesn't matter who gets 7 and 8. They're going to get smacked in the first round.
That's why the playing games are interesting, because that will be our early competition there. Coming up, it's the Jump's regular season awards.
The truth.
As RJ noted, we will be handing them out throughout this whole week. And today, I will finally achieve my dream of having the MVP being for the most valuable best player in the league, and whoever had the best season this year, which is a different question, being its own award. We'll discuss that next. So, Matt, Kwame Brown had some comments about you on IG Live this weekend. Do you care to address?
Yeah, I was just confused. I didn't really know what happened. I didn't know where they came from. I was coaching the kids this weekend, and I look on social media, and people are going crazy. But I get where he's coming from. I mean, he's kind of been the butt of jokes coming into the league and not being able to live up to that number one potential. I guess some stuff was said on the podcast. I don't know. Like, to me, your anger is focused on me. I didn't say nothing, do nothing. If you want to be mad at anyone, be mad at MJ for picking you number one.
Well, you're referring, of course, to the All the Smoke podcast, right, where you had Gilbert Arenas on. It was you and Steven Jackson.
And I don't even recall Rachel, to be honest with you. So good luck, bro.
I got nothing.
All right, friends. The NBA has told awards voters ballots are due today. I heard you, Mark Broussard. So, yep, it is also time for the Jump's regular season awards. Let's start with best season. As I have said many times, I believe that the MVP should go back to what it was earlier in the league's history, awarded to the player who's simply the best guy in the league. The guy, if you absolutely had to win a game to save your house, who would be your first pick? Meanwhile, though, we should also have an award for best season. The guy whose stats this season jumped off the page. And again, we've had leagues like the NHL, like Major League Baseball, like the NFL, change their awards to recognize that these are two different things, who had the best season versus who's the best player. And as for who had the best season in 2021, well, here's what LeBron James thinks. Take a listen.
You know, we just got to play to the best of our ability. We got to play Lakers basketball. We got to defend at a high rate. You know, we're playing versus, in my opinion, the MVP of our league this year, and Steph. So, you know, we got to be, you know, prepared for everything that they have. They got championship DNA as well, you know, and, you know, they've been there. They know what it takes and what it feels like to be in pressure games. So, you know, we got to be ready for that opportunity and for that pressure.
He's so smart. He's so smart.
It's so annoying.
Just buttering him up.
Just buttering. Like, look, and he's telling the truth.
Right.
But he didn't have to say
you
that.
You think this is all a ploy that Steph is considering his extension this summer?
No. Steph legitimately.
Everything he said was true, too. What LeBron said was true.
What are you buttering him up?
Because it's like you're about to play a dude in the postseason. Like, you don't want to boost their heads up. You don't want to give them anything good or bad. But it's just like, look.
Okay, so if we all lived in my world and we separated out MVP, which we'll talk about in a minute, is who's the guy, if you had to win one game, who would you pick first? That's separate. This season, who had the best season this season, either statistically or just do you think helped his team the most this season?
Steph Curry, without a doubt, is not even close who had the best season, right? Like Matt brought it up. Steph answered so many questions, and Warrior fans would get sensitive. What are you talking about this? It's like, yo, Steve Kerr came out and said it last year. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're not going to go push Steph out there and play him 40 minutes like he's James Harden or Giannis. Like, mm-hmm. no, the way he plays, that's just too difficult. Mm-hmm. But this season, he comes back, no Clay again. He goes out there and plays a ton of games and carries this team. They had a ton of talent, but carries this team averaging 30-something points and leading the league in scoring, answered questions that, you know, even his greatness still needed to be answered. Could he just carry the load? And he did that.
I mean, Steph's my guy, too. I also have Joker and Embiid in that conversation. But, you know, it's considering what Steph lost. You lose KD, then you lose Clay. And then this is, again, the year he was supposed to be exposed. And I said at the beginning of this season, we're going to get to see Steph's version of James Harden basketball this year. They play different, but as far as you being the first, second, and third option, that's what Steph was this year, and he definitely didn't disappoint.
Look, I think there's a case on either side, right? Steph and Draymond made this case. He said, look at the team we had last year. He said there's been some changes, but it's basically the same talent, but without Steph and the record mm-hmm. he said that we had versus the record with Steph playing. But with Jokic, the numbers are just off the charts, yeah. guys. Mm-hmm. The efficiency, the advanced stats only make him more of a candidate. If you're looking for more of that narrative vibe, what he did with this team after Jamal Murray went down, the fact that he played in every single game mm-hmm. in a season where, look, it wasn't everyone's fault if they were out for chunks of time, but it happened, right? And his defense, which had been a weakness before, he made a concerted effort to change. And when I had a conversation with him a few weeks ago, you know, we keep talking about this new slim look. It's not just making him, you know, more energetic and a little bit, he said, just a little bit faster. But it's really helped him defensively. It's had a lot more energy and a lot more on the defensive side. So I understand both cases. It interests me that players have pretty consistently talked about Steph. Now, that is a separate conversation, though.
Not MVP, people.
Than MVP in our world, in this discussion. So, to me, this should kind of call back to how the MVP, before we had access to all of these stats, there was kind of a consensus on, hey, who's the best guy in the league right now? If you had to win a game tomorrow, who is the person you would pick? And for a long time, it was Michael Jordan, but he didn't win all those MVPs. Mm-hmm. I think he should have in those years. And if we had a separate award for best season, we wouldn't have seen the split that we have. So take it to today. And this is me basically asking you guys, who is the best player in
Matt
the
first.
NBA?
Go to Matt first.
Man, you are a coward. Matt, if you had to just, if like we saw Damian Lillard and that fan earlier said, I'm counting on you for my house. Right. And we said, well, if you're counting on someone for your house, Dame is a good guy. If you had to save your family, save your house by winning a basketball game.
Lord. Kevin Durant.
That is who you'd pick.
Taking Kevin Durant.
OK.
I think he was on the verge of slowly claiming that before he tore his Achilles. I think he was on a tear coming off those finals. The way he's been able to come back this year off this type of injury and still like he never missed a beat, still consistent, still efficient, still probably the most scary player in the game. So if I'm going to take one player, I'm taking Kevin Durant to save my family.
Oh. This is tough, and I like my words don't count nearly as much because I am associated with LeBron James, but like to me, he's still the best player. Because you were saying, like Kevin Durant, he was on the verge.
He didn't get there.
And the year he gets hurt, LeBron James wins the MVP, or wins the finals MVP and wins a championship. And he's still the reigning finals MVP. Right. And so, and it, prior to the injuries to him and Anthony Davis, they were the number one ranked defense. They were the number one ranked team in the league. It looked like he was about to get his fifth MVP. Mm-hmm. So if you tell me the most valuable player, the best player on the planet, until someone gets past that verge, then to me, it's still LeBron James. He's got to hold the title until someone just surpasses him in a way. And you don't just TKO the champ. You got to knock out the champ.
You got to finish the champ.
And I don't think anybody, there's been some TKOs, but there hasn't been anybody knock out the champ yet.
Do you guys think, as I do, that this should be separated out a little bit more?
Yes, 100% I agree.
I think it'd be more excitement, you know, more stuff to talk about, but definitely because there's a big difference. And I think we've all made great points today why there's such a difference between these different categories.
Right.
Well, the Chris Paul and Steph Curry kind of, you know, situation is like their best players, what they've meant. Are they the MVPs? But you could still be the best player on the planet, not be the MVP or vice versa. So, it should be separated because the criteria just keeps growing and changing and then advanced stats bring it all in.
Well, I will say this also, that when we talk about the award as it is now, because sadly I don't get to make all these decisions for the NBA, the word value is something that there is not really consensus among the voters on what that means. Some guys will literally just run down all of the stats for you, and then they will criticize people who talk about things like leadership as like, oh, you're just a narrative voter, and that's a media construction on the most popular coastal teams. That's not what a narrative actually means, and I'm not going to get into that. But what I will say is this. You don't get to just say it's cancel culture when we hold people accountable, right? That's a thing. Yeah. We don't get to just say it's the narrative when we talk about leadership. That's a thing. Mm-hmm. So when there are guys who are being considered for the MVP as it is now, I will say as a voter, one of the things I take into account is what do you do globally for that team? How much does that team change if you were taken off it with the production of the other guys, with the effect on other guys, the vibe about whether they go to war or not? And I will say, Nikola Jokic is a great example for me because to me, value includes leadership. What he did after Jamal Murray went down, that is value in that category to me. And that's not narrative
and
or
Monte
storytelling.
Morris and Will Barton, like he's going to be the MVP.
Agreed.
There you go. All right. Producer Steve says go to break. We will do more fun stuff after. We'll see you in a second.
Whatever, Steve.
Thank you, friend. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Kyrie Irving solidified his place in the 50-40-90 club. He shot 50.6% from the field this season, 40.2 on threes, 92.2 from the free throw line. He joins Larry Bird, Steph Curry, KD is the only players to average at least 25 per game during a 50-40-90 season. Richard, how difficult is this?
He is, like they said, he had no flaws in his offensive game, and I think this is the best version we've seen of Kyrie because what do? He finishes games, like drives the hole, and these are not easy finishes.
What can't he do?
Yeah, those aren't easy finishes for 50%.
He's one of the most skilled players we've ever seen.
Ever.
But I think where he's taken that next step is I think mentally he has a mission now. He knows who he is on and off the court, and he's not afraid to show that. And I think when you're happy, you're free, you play your best basketball.
Yeah, he and I had a conversation about that earlier this season where I just said he's the most comfortable. I've covered him since his rookie year. He's the most comfortable I've seen him. And he just said the past, you learn from it, you move forward, and that's who he is now. Thanks for watching The Jump. We'll see you back.